This is The Guardian.
In Norway, a woman's boyfriend forgets who she is overnight. In Detroit, a man is arrested, but he was never at the crime scene. In Spain, disturbing pictures of young girls have appeared, and no one knows who's behind them. Something strange is happening. A collision between people and artificial intelligence. Discover more in The Guardian's new series, Black Box. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes Monday and Thursdays.
Looking for your next great podcast? We live in unprecedented times. To make sense of it, what if you could learn from some of the most influential people on the planet? The podcast Tools and Weapons is hosted by Microsoft's Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Every week, he has a candid conversation with guests, including prime ministers and Pulitzer Prize-winning journalists. The latest episode features Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though most of us know Bayer for pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science. They're putting digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre. Listen to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith, wherever you get your podcasts.
Science Weekly is supported by Rainforest Trust. In honor of this year's Earth Day, we're promoting Rainforest Trust's Brazilian Amazon Fund throughout April. Rainforest Trust is a 501c3 organization, which means that 100% of all money donated goes directly to conservation efforts. The fund has already helped protect more than 6.5 million acres of rainforest habitat, but Rainforest Trust still needs to protect a further 13 million acres to reach its goal. You can help. Donate online at rainforesttrust.org/earthday this April, and your generous gift will be quadruple matched for the Brazilian Amazon.
You will have heard the clichés.
The classic one would be that the firstborn ones are dutiful, they would show up early, they would do like all the hard work, and the later borns are usually thought of as more creative.
Perhaps the stereotypical dynamics play out in your own family. Your brother, caught in the middle, is a total people pleaser. Your older sister, lumped with looking after the younger ones, is way more conscientious and organised. And the baby, having been pushed around by the older siblings, has developed a good sense of humour.
I usually get the impression that most people feel like they got the short end of the stick. So I think it's a bit of like sense making, but also making up maybe for perceived past injustices.
It certainly feels right, doesn't it? But what does the science say? Does birth order really determine our personalities? Are firstborns serious and driven, while the last are easygoing attention seekers? How do our siblings shape us? From The Guardian, I'm Madeleine Finlay, and this is Science Weekly.
So actually, when it comes to my family position, I always say that I would be a missing value in my own data. Hi, my name is Julia Rohrer. I'm a personality psychologist at Leipzig University. Technically, I do have like a younger half-sibling. So from that perspective, I'm like biologically firstborn. But then at the same time, I grew up with an older cousin, so we were raised together, and that makes me socially a later born. And I think that like non-standard birth order position is why I actually wasn't aware that people have stereotypes about birth order position before I started to work on the topic.
Okay, so Julia, you might not have heard of it initially, but I would say this is a pretty common idea that birth order is at least going to impact your personality. So where does it come from?
So the history of birth order effects is really, really long. So it dates back at least until like Francis Galton, so way more than 100 years. And Galton just noticed that firstborns were overrepresented among eminent scientists. So there's the idea that the firstborn is particularly highly achieving. But then there was a lot of work after that, for example, by Alfred Adler. So from a psychoanalytic perspective, with that idea, oh, the firstborn gets like dethroned when the second child shows up and so on, assuming that that had all sort of like pathological effects on people's personality.
It's interesting that this has been an idea that's been pervasive in science for so long. There must have been some theories that people came up with to explain these potential dynamics within families.
I think the most influential one more recently, although it's already a bit older, is Frank Salloway's niche theory. So that is like an evolutionary inspired idea that within the family, the siblings are competing for resources, but also they must get along, right? They share genes, so they have shared interests and so on. And so the idea is that it's a bit like in the animal kingdom, that there are different ways to specialize. And so the firstborns specialize in being like a surrogate parent, like they are the big and the bossy ones. And then the younger siblings must find their other niches. So that's why they are more creative, because they have to explore to find out how they actually fit into the family context.
And I know that in his book on this subject, Born to Rebel, Frank Salloway, who you mentioned, argued that birth order had a significant impact on the so-called Big Five personality traits, which are these main traits that psychologists like yourself use to measure personality. So what are these Big Five?
So that is extroversion, emotional stability, agreeableness, conscientiousness, and openness to experience. And so it's super easy to confuse these with like the everyday terms. So it's important to keep in mind that these are very, very broad constructs. So for example, extroversion is not just being sociable, but it's also being dominant and having high levels of energy. So it's a lot more than what the terms usually mean in everyday life.
Now, you've conducted some studies on birth order. Can you tell me a little bit about how you approached it?
So there are these huge ongoing panel studies in multiple countries that ask people about their personalities, but also have a lot of information on family background. We take these existing data sets and then we just look at differences between different birth order positions. One important factor that one really has to keep in mind is that people come from families that are like smaller or larger. And so naturally in every family, you will have precisely one firstborn child. But then the larger the family, the more later born children. And we do know that larger families are just very different from smaller families. We have to compare people who have the same number of siblings in total. And another factor that is maybe not that obvious or that many people tend to forget is that almost by definition, the firstborn is always older. And we do know by now that personality does change systematically with age. Conscientiousness does go up with age. And so if we don't account for that, there is like the real danger of confusing birth order effects with age effects. And I actually think that is what often happens when it comes to conscientiousness, because there is a consistent stereotype that firstborns have their stuff together, and that might actually just firstborns being older. And so it's very important to account for that factor as well.
Okay, so I can see that there are going to be quite a few complicating factors that you need to be aware of when you're analysing this kind of big data. But bearing all of those in mind, what did you find?
When we look at the big five personality traits I mentioned before, so extroversion, emotional stability, agreeableness, conscientiousness, and openness to experience, we mostly actually find nothing. For openness to experience, there is like a tiny association with a subdimension that we call self-reported intellect. So that is saying that you have a large vocabulary, that you enjoy thinking about complicated ideas. And there we find that firstborns score slightly higher than later born children. So what we do find is that on average, firstborns are a bit smarter, but it's always important to keep in mind that that is not deterministic at all. So what I always tell people, and there's also to make my younger sister happy, is that if you look at like diets of siblings, so you have a firstborn and you have a secondborn, then the chances that the firstborn is slightly smarter is a bit higher than 50%. So it's more like 60%. But that still means that in many, many sibling diets, the later born will actually be the smarter one. So it's by no means deterministic. But apart from that, we really find no systematic associations between birth order position and personality.
Now, Yulia, I'm sure plenty of people listening right now are going to be like, hold on, no way, that's not true. My older sister is like this, my younger brother's like that. But I will say there have been other big studies as well as yours, including one of almost 400,000 American high school students that found the same as you, that there isn't this link between birth order and personality, except for this tiny effect on intelligence. Of course, what intelligence is and how it's defined is a whole nother issue for another podcast. But I am curious, are there theories as to why this effect is seen in the data?
There are multiple explanations for that that are all quite plausible. So one obvious difference is that when there is just one child around, the parents can give like full attention and provide more cognitive stimulation and so on. Another one that I kind of really like because it's a positive twist on things is the idea that actually firstborns get a boost because of their smaller siblings, because they become a teacher for them and explain things to them and so on. And explaining things to somebody else is a lot more challenging than just understanding things. And then last but not least, it could actually be also differences in education. So maybe because of expectations and because of their role, firstborns do end up studying more challenging degrees. And we do know that education also affects intelligence. So we have all sorts of plausible explanation, and it could very well be that all of these contribute a bit to the tiny mean level difference that we observe.
So, Yulia, we can kind of put aside personality traits, but I wonder, does birth order play any role in our life outcomes?
So there are some very interesting findings from Sweden that shows that there does seem to be an association between birth order position and people's careers. Firstborns are more likely to become managers and are more likely to go into engineering or medicine, whereas younger ones are more likely to study, for example, journalism or go to art school. I think that again points to that idea that there might be different roles that might actually have to do with how you grew up with your family and so on, that maybe determines that you become the doctor and the younger sibling can do whatever they want, without necessarily actually affecting people's personality.
So that's more of a kind of social, cultural thing going on. You know, there are expectations placed on the firstborn that might not be there for the secondborn.
Yes, I very much assume that that's like social, cultural. And I also assume that that means that it won't necessarily generalize to other contexts. So we did conduct a study in Indonesia where we were actually not able to confirm the intelligence effect that we have found in so many Western samples. And that might actually be because sometimes firstborn are taken out of school so that they can start working earlier and provide for later borns. So then maybe the second child gets the boost and so on. So this is all within the historic context, and it needn't necessarily be universal laws in any way.
So are there any questions around the impact of siblings and the role siblings have in your life that you're still investigating or that you're interested in looking at?
One thing that I find more interesting these days are gender dynamics. So, for example, does it make a difference for a girl if she grows up with a brother as opposed to with a sister? There again, we do find that it does seem to make a difference for the later life course. In economics, there's something called the brother earnings penalty, and that is the observation that women who have a brother as opposed to a sister earn less later in life. So it does seem like there's something going on with respect to gendered family dynamics of the type that if there is a brother around, then maybe the girl gets into a more stereotypically female role, which also affects what she's going to work later in life and whether she's going to stay in the workforce once she has children and so on. But again, it looks like it's not really about personality, it's more about roles in general.
Yulia, the fact that studies like yours have proved quite conclusively now that there just isn't any link between personality traits and birth order, apart from this very, very small boost in IQ that you've talked about, why do you think this concept just resonates so strongly with people and that it's still so persistent?
I believe that people are just super interested in understanding why they are the way they are. And siblings and childhood plays a big role in that, right? We all believe that this is like the most important time where our personality is formed. So that idea that birth order has like a huge effect on one's personality in a highly systematic manner, that really is one of those zombie theories that just won't go away, no matter how much empirical evidence is provided.
Do you think a lot of this could be self-fulfilling, that people conform to the expectations of those around them?
I think within families, you will get these dynamics that people take on these roles, and not just because of stereotypes, but also just because of pragmatic considerations. So the younger sibling can't possibly watch the older one, but the other way works just fine. So you do get these role dynamics, and so the firstborn might still take care of organizing Christmas 20 years later when the later borns are old enough to do the work as well. I think the interesting part here is to keep in mind that the role that you take on in your family does not necessarily have a huge impact on who you are and how you behave outside of the family context. You might be the youngest one in the family, but then in school, due to the cutoff age, you might end up being like the biggest kid in class. And so that will lead to a different role in that context, which might also affect your personality in that context. So we think of personality as much more flexible and context dependent than maybe people think in general.
Now, Julia, I know that you've got kids. This work must make you think so much about what's shaping their personalities.
I do certainly think about that a lot, but also now that I have a second child, I do have the impression that there is so much that the child already brings into the situation the moment they are born. The underlying temperament and dispositions already seem so different that it's hard to imagine that this is already an effect of birth order position. I think there is like a popular saying that when you have one child, you really believe in nurture. And once you have the second child, you start to really believe in nature because you notice how different they are. And I really feel like there's some truth to that at this point, just having seen that my kids at a very young age behave so radically differently.
Julia, thank you so much for coming on and busting some of those personality myths. It's been fascinating.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
Thanks again to Dr. Julia Rohrer. And if you haven't already heard it, I want to mention the brilliant new Guardian podcast series, Black Box. It's exploring the ways in which AI might help us and cause us trouble. Episode 1 is telling the story of Geoffrey Hinton, a man who set out to understand the brain, but helped invent a technology so powerful that even researchers don't truly understand how it works. New episodes are out every Monday and Thursday, so subscribe to Black Box wherever you get your podcasts. And that's it for today. This episode was produced by me, Madeline Finley. It was sound designed by Joel Cox. And the executive producer is Ellie Bury. We'll be back on Thursday. See you then.
This is The Guardian.
Looking for your next great podcast? We live in unprecedented times. To make sense of it, what if you could learn from some of the most influential people on the planet? The podcast Tools and Weapons is hosted by Microsoft's Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Every week, he has a candid conversation with guests, including prime ministers and Pulitzer Prize-winning journalists. The latest episode features Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though most of us know Bayer for pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science. They're putting digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre. Listen to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.